I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ipe Mizuhara to plead guilty. Your Dodgers are the hottest team in Major League Baseball, and I've got 10 Dodgers stats that you need to know. Also, an update on Clayton Kershaw, and we have Andy McCullough joining the show today. We're going to break it all down here on another live episode of Dodgers Dugout.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
Grand slam!
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out. What is up, Dodgers Nation? Doug McCain here, credentialed member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. And if you haven't yet, do us a huge favor and subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel in the game. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. We just hit 90,000 subscribers and gave away a brand new, authentic Tyler Glasnow jersey. And guess what? More giveaways on the way. We're going to do a big one at 100,000. Once we hit 100K, it's going to be the biggest giveaway we've ever done. We're not ready to announce that yet, but we are going to announce our giveaway for 95,000. And that giveaway is going to be the Shohei Ohtani road jersey. So check it out. You got a road jersey. We've given out the white. Now we're going to give out the gray road jersey. And all you have to do to make sure you're eligible to win the giveaway is subscribe to the channel and comment Goat Tani down below. Comment Goat Tani down below in the comment section, and you will make yourself eligible to win. But we've got a jam-packed show today. And first, for the leadoff, we got the leadoff here. And the leadoff today is we pretty much have our final big update on the Ipe Mizuhara betting scandal. Ipe Mizuhara agrees to plead guilty to bank fraud and tax fraud. So we're going to get into that. We got all the details. But first, let me know where you guys are representing Dodgers Nation from. Give me those cities. Give me those zip codes. And we always start every single episode of Dodgers Dugout Live with our poll question of the show. I asked you guys over on the X, should the Dodgers sign Teoscar Hernandez long-term? What kind of contract would you offer? And right now, 75% of you say yes, while 21% of you say no. So 79%, that's a really high amount. And we're going to talk about some contract possibilities. I talked to Teoscar yesterday after another two-hit game. He's been perfect. He's been an absolute gem of a signing for your Los Angeles Dodgers. And we got some thoughts on that. Also, later in the show, I'm going to play a clip of my interview with the great Andy McCullough. He's a writer for The Athletic. He covered the Dodgers for the LA Times for 6 years. And he just released this new book, The Last of His Kind, Clayton Kershaw and the Burden of Greatness. I inhaled this thing. An incredible, incredible book. If you're a fan of the Dodgers, if you're a fan of baseball, if you're a fan of Clayton Kershaw, this is required reading. And we're going to play a clip from that. And we're later, we're going to drop the entire interview tonight. So definitely go cop his book. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it for Kindle, for your tablets. You can get the hard copy. So definitely go pick up his book. I know I got my Christians out there. You believe in Christianity. So here we go. We got Joel Rodriguez representing from D-Max Garage. What is up, Joel Rodriguez? It's a fire take. By the way, anytime you guys bring the fire takes, you get one of those. Anytime I see a burn or a roast, you're going to see
him. Finish him.
Anything a little sus, usually coming from Nando, you're going to get one of these.
Bruh.
And then for a comment of the show, you're going to get one of these. Also, any super chats will be featured right on the screen. And to my left, I've got super producer, Mr. Tonio. Antonio is looking for all of your comments. He's going to have them right up there on the screen. And like I said, new giveaway. You see it right there. Sick graphic by Mr. Noel Sanchez, our social media superstar, too. So let's dive right into it. Like I said, the leadoff today, Ipe Mizuhara agrees to plead guilty to bank fraud and tax fraud. So just a little rewind here. The Dodgers, they fired him on March 20th after it came out that there was some betting issues. And at the time, he had told ESPN's reporter Tisha Thompson that Ohtani had let him borrow money and that he was done with his gambling. And then it turned out that he was lying the entire time. So he was fired on March 20th. But yesterday, the United States Attorney's Office announced that he is going to plead guilty to one count of bank fraud and one count of tax fraud. U.S. Attorney Martin Teen Estrada said, "The extent of this defendant's deception and theft is massive. He took advantage of his position of trust and took advantage of Mr. Ohtani and fueled a dangerous gambling habit." So both of those charges, they have a maximum sentence of 33 years in federal prison. Both the plea deal from the federal prosecutors, they're recommending a reduced sentence. Also, this means he'll ultimately get deported, and he's required to pay, $16.975 million to Ohtani as a part of that plea deal. He also didn't report to Uncle Sam, to the IRS, $4.1 million in income tax in 2022 and is required to pay $1.149 million in back taxes plus any added interest. So that's a lot of money. Nearly $20 million is what he's on the hook for. I don't know how he's going to get that money. I don't know if he's going to have to hit on some really awesome 16 parlays or something. He's going to have to get back into the betting game if he wants to find a way to pay for this. But yeah, it's definitely not good news for Ipe Mizuhara. And another thing that I found pretty interesting from yesterday's news was it was reported that in order to make various wire transfers from Ohtani's bank account, he called the bank and impersonated Ohtani not 5, not 10, but 24 times. He did it 24 times. And he also asked Ohtani to pay for $60,000 of dental work that he had done back in September of 2023. And Shohei gave him a check for $60,000. And he took that check. And it says, however, Mizuhara provided his dentist Ohtani's debit card number for the bank account Ohtani had opened in Phoenix, charged $60,000 to the account, then deposited the $60,000 check into Mizuhara's personal bank account. Go on to say, Mr. Mizuhara exploited his relationship with Mr. Ohtani to bankroll his own irresponsibility. So we've done countless videos on this topic now. From start to finish, we have covered this. And I think really this has to be one of the last big updates, at least for a while, because we have a conclusion now. He is going to plead guilty, and you're looking at a lot of time in jail. He's going to get deported. He's going to be on the hook for a lot of money. And that's going to do it for Ipe Mizuhara. And look, Dave Roberts was asked about it yesterday, and he didn't really say too much about it, but he kind of made the point, look, this is another step in just getting past this, another step in trying to put this behind not just Shohei Ohtani, but this entire Dodgers organization. So my favorite thing out there is there's people, and like I said, everyone's entitled to their own wrong opinion, right? But there's people out there still, despite all this information, despite all these investigations by the IRS, by federal prosecutors, by police investigations, despite all this information, they still think that Shohei Ohtani was betting on baseball. So I don't know what you need. Ipe Mizuhara, he admitted to stealing the money, and the bookie said that it was all 100% Ipe Mizuhara, and the DOJ, they charged Ipe, and he was charged for fraud. And on top of that, they said that Shohei Ohtani was 100% innocent and that he was a victim. And then still, after all that, you still have people out there, living, breathing human beings, that'll still look at you dead in the eye and say, Shohei Ohtani was betting on baseball. So look, at this point, you chose your side, and that's going to be that. But let's dive into some comments here. We got a $2 super chat. You know, I appreciate that. We'll probably send that to Ipe so he can pay off his debts or try to cook up a parlay with that one. But we got J.A. Ipe bet he wasn't going to jail. That's a fire take right there. We got T.E. Ross. No count for stealing. What a crock. We got Marco Perez over on YouTube. Teoscar looks comfortable in Dodger blue and fits in this lineup better than Cinderella's shoe. Fire take over there. You guys are killing it today. Absolutely. I could not agree more. And we're going to dive into Teoscar in a second here, but he has definitely been a perfect fit. And he's exactly what this Dodgers team needed. I think it does get lost a little bit just because you have Shohei, you have Yamamoto, you traded for Glasnow. You already had a lot of stars to begin with. Teoscar Hernandez really is a role player on the Dodgers that would be an all-star and one of the biggest stars on a lot of other clubs in Major League Baseball. So there's a lot of players that are living in Ohtani's shadow, and that's just what happens when you have so many stars that the Dodgers do. We got Kyle Oak saying Teo would sign a fair contract right about now. I think we got T.E. Ross. Give Teoscar a one-year contract right now. He's not going to sign a one-year contract. He's going to go out there and wants to get a multi-year deal, but like I said, we're going to dive into that in a second here. Michael says, having fun just watching the Dodgers play right now. Just enjoy our boys in blue. That gets a let's go Dodgers right there. That gets a comment of the show, because, and we'll continue on here, but it's a great point, okay? We'll cross that October bridge when it gets there, but enjoy this, savor this. I love early season baseball, right? Because we don't have to face all the tension and anxiety that comes with the postseason, right? We'll have plenty of time to do that. But I think the special thing right now is you're seeing young players like Andy Páez and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, guys like that, really find their footing with this organization. And then you have new players like Teoscar Hernandez, like Tyler Glasnow, like Shohei Ohtani. And then you have existing players like Mookie Betts, where the fresh storyline is, yeah, I am definitely one of the best hitters in the league still, but I'm also playing shortstop as well. So that's a great point. But let's dive into some more comments here, and then I'm going to get into 10 stats that all Dodgers fans need to know right now, because your team is absolutely killing it on the field. We got, where's Kyle Hurt? They placed him on the 60-day IL, so he's been on the shelf for a couple days now, and we'll see what happens with Kyle Hurt. That's kind of the unfortunate thing with his bullpen is you have dealt with some injuries, and you dealt with an injury to Kyle Hurt, and he's someone that I was hoping would be able to contribute to this team when the postseason rolls around, but it's a shoulder issue, and we'll see what the next step is for him. I mean, he also had right shoulder inflammation back on April 20th. So that's the issue right there. You got shoulder inflammation. Kyle's hurt at the moment, and he's not going to be back anytime soon. But let's continue to dive into these comments here. You guys are firing away. Like I said, if you haven't yet, comment down below Goat Tani for the 95K giveaway. Okay, so let's start. So we're going to do a new segment here. 10 stats you need to know about your Los Angeles Dodgers. And this team, they're the hottest team in baseball. This team is showing that you can have a couple of down weeks. You can struggle for you know, 10 games and still be one of the best teams in baseball. And the first stat you need to know is plus 74. The Dodgers have a plus 74 run differential right now. That's first in all of Major League Baseball. That's a plus 22 over the Phillies. They're outscoring their opponents 100-31 in the last 2.5 weeks. And you've seen them build a cushion in the National League West. They're up 6.5 games on the second place San Diego Padres. And you're seeing a team that is just putting together great baseball, complete baseball. They won 14 of 16 games. And during this stretch, the pitching has been really, really good. The starting pitching, you've had depth. You've had Yamamoto go 8. You've had Glasnow go 8. You've had the bullpen, despite lots of key injuries, with Ryan Brazier and Evan Phillips going to the IL, with Brusdar Graterol still on the IL. They still put together a really great stretch right here. But the next big number you need to know is 1.37, as in a 1.37 ERA in 52 and a third innings of work for this Dodgers bullpen. LA is 22-1 in games where they lead after 7. A lot of that has to do with this pen. You guys know we introduced the Yarbros, Ryan Yarbros fan club, which I'm the president of. And during this stretch, he's gone 9 innings and hasn't given up a run. And like I mentioned a couple seconds ago, that the key pieces from last year have all missed time during this stretch, with Evan Phillips, Brazier, and Brusdar Graterol, yet they're still able to get it done. And I think that speaks to the culture. I think that speaks to what they do with coaching, with development, and it's their next man up mentality, right? If you're going to get the ball, you're going to be counted upon to get outs. And I asked Dave Roberts after yesterday's win, hey, what does that say about this team that you can miss all these guys, that you can have key injuries and still go out there and put up zeros and give this team a chance to win? And here's what Doc told me.
You guys had 22-1 when leading after 7. You guys had a little bit of a shaky start with the bullpen early on, but what does that say about this bullpen that despite some of those key injuries, you guys have still been able to have a lot of success?
It's, Josh Bard. They got a really good culture down there. They're prepared. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on that we can't control as far as injuries. But we do a good job of weathering it. And, you know, there's a handful of guys that are down there right now that didn't start the season with us. And, we're counting on those guys to pitch big innings. They have already. And I trust them all down there. It's really good.
A 1.37 ERA in their last 52 and a third innings. That is outstanding, especially when they started the year a little shaky. I love this. We got Moose 1032 says, Yar Bros Unite. Iris K over on YouTube, I low-key love Yarbs. Everyone's forgetting about him. He's the unsung hero of this team, and it's the versatility. Dave Roberts told me a couple days ago that Yarbrough was invaluable to this team because you can use him in a piggyback role. We saw it with Walker Buehler, and how valuable is that? That you can have a starter in Walker Buehler return to this team and give him an opportunity to say, you know what, we don't need you to go 6 or 7. Give us your best 4. Give us your best 5, and then we can throw Yarbrough coming from the left side, a totally different pitch mix. And I think that's another thing too, is a lot of these guys are guys that can throw 94, 95 to 97 to 98. And then you throw in Yarbrough, who's not going to be up there in velocity. He's in the 1 percentile. His fastball is as low as it gets when it comes to overall velocity, but he misses barrels. He has a deceptive delivery. He limits hard contact. And I think that mix up, that versatility, is really why he's able to be effective too. It's another big factor in it. But look, he hits his spots and goes out there and he gets the job done. Next stat you need to know, 6.25, as in 6.25 runs per game. 6.25 runs per game. You're going to have a lot of success. Anytime you have that success, you are going to win a lot of games. So not only is the pitching stat putting up zeros, but the offense is going out there and they're giving run support like we saw a couple nights ago. Buehler gives up some runs early. What happens? You get back-to-back shots. You get a home run from Shohei Ohtani. You get a home run from Freddie Freeman, the first time the Dodgers went back-to-back this season. Yesterday, not a lot of runs, but then Teoscar Hernandez, he gets a single to score Freddie there early on, and then he gets his own home run multi-run home run there to really give the Dodgers the lead in a game where they weren't scoring a ton of runs and the offense wasn't doing very much. So you got different guys stepping up on different nights. So many players in this lineup can beat you. 1 through 6, 1 through 7. Now Páez in the mix going up there and doing big things. It's just this lineup is too long. They have too much depth. They have too much talent for opposing pitchers. So it's definitely just a great sight to see that they're gelling at this point and they're putting together a lot of wins. So definitely great stuff from this Dodgers offense as well. Another stat, 1.95, a 1.95 ERA for the starting pitchers during this stretch. They put up an 11-0 record in 15 starts when you take away that Yarbrough, when Yarbrough comes in for the bullpen game there. So they did have some planned bullpen games, but from the starting pitchers, you're talking about a sub-2 ERA, and they're averaging 6.15 innings during this stretch. So you're getting the length. You're getting the effectiveness. So what more could you ask for from this team? But who has the most hits during this stretch? Next number we need to know is 22. And of course, I'm not talking about Clayton Kershaw. I'm talking about Andy Páez. 22 hits. He leads all Dodgers during this stretch. Now, switch gears a little bit and talk about another number that has nothing to do with what happens on the field, but how about a number that is off the field for a jersey, and that is for Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani's jersey, his game-worn jersey, the auction just finished at $100,000. $100,000 for a Shohei Ohtani jersey. Now, you're thinking that's a lot, right? You're thinking that, wow, that's a ton of money. And yes, it is, but you got the sweat. You got his DNA. And I think with that sweat and DNA for $100K, you get Shohei clone Tani, right? Shohei clone Tani. I got Noah Ortega says, Ohtani no longer seen as an angel now, Darth Dodger. So we got the Attack of the Clones, Darth Dodger, a lot of Star Wars vibes on this show. But $100,000, if that doesn't tell you how massive of a star Ohtani is internationally, I don't know what will, because I was walking to the press box yesterday and I stopped off. I don't know if you guys know, but outside of the press box, they have this really cool store that has a ton of game-worn Dodgers jerseys. The one I want says BB on the back. It says Bat Boy. It's like $500. I think it's fire. But you also have a Mookie Betts game-worn jersey. It's $1,500 for a game-worn Mookie Betts jersey, a World Series champion, an MVP, and Ohtani's goes for $100,000. Yesterday at Will Smith's event, his comedy night, they had a signed Ohtani jersey. It wasn't even game worn. It went for $10,000. How about this? Antonio, if you get any game worn jersey in Dodgers history, who you picking?
I got to go with Eric Gagne when he got his 84th save.
Wow.
That's right.
That's serious. I love
that.
That's
my dog, dude.
I love that. The 84 saves. I mean, I like it. It's not just the game worn, but it's the moment. How about you, Noel? Any game worn jersey in Dodgers franchise history?
I probably wrote that Matt Kemp 2018 World Series homer. Coming back to the city.
I like it. I like it. I mean, you got to go with your guys, man. You got to go with your guys. No wrong answer here, right? It's whatever you think is fresh. I mean, for me, I think it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of legendary Dodgers out there. I've been obsessed with Sandy Koufax my entire life just because I think if the aliens came down, right, and there was one game to win, and you could give the ball to one pitcher in his prime, I still think that pitcher is Sandy Koufax. The jersey I would want is the jersey he wore on September 9th, 1965, when he pitched a perfect game. I would want his perfect game jersey. Gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. The perfecto against the Cubbies. But let me know down below in the comment section, which game-worn jersey would you want? Jay, I thought about that too, game-worn jersey, Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson would be a close second for me as well. Also, probably a Miguel Vargas spring training jersey. You know how much I love Miggy Vargas, so.
OKC Grand Slam.
The OKC Grand Slam Miguel Vargas jersey would be up there. We got a super chat from Ryan Montez, $2. What's up, Doug? I'm in LA, and I'd love to meet. Okay. I'm going to be in San Diego for the Padres series, but I'm sure, hey, I see all you guys at the stadium And if you're by the press box, you guys will see me walking around. So, yeah, I love meeting you guys. You guys are the best fans. Dodgers fans are the best fans in the game, and I always love talking ball with you guys. A $4.99 super chat. Doug, do the Dodgers call up Knack and go to a six-man rotation instead of a bullpen game? I think it really depends on the progression of Bobby Miller and how that fares. They're going to bring Knack back up at some point. They're never going to go to a true six-man rotation because they like the versatility of having Ryan Yarbrough in that bullpen game. And Ryan Yarbrough is essentially the unofficial six-man in this rotation. But they've done well in the planned bullpen games. The numbers bear that out. They're 2-1 in those games. So that's an effective strategy for them. It doesn't always work, but I think they're going to maintain that flexibility. You're going to see more Landon Knack, and he's performed well since he's been down there. Ismael Sanchez, he is a fellow Yarbrough. I think you want one of these. Bruh. We got Cody or Beer Yarbrough, the new D-Mac lookalike. Hey, what's up, man? You got Will Smith. You got Ryan Yarbrough. We got Alex Renteria. D-Mac, what's your prediction for the road trip? 4-2, 5-1. They're so hot right now. I think San Diego, we know that it's their World Series. They're going to want to take 2 out of 3. Let's go 4-2. I think 4-2 works for me. It's a little bit of a conservative guess when you look at how they're performing right now. But you got two division opponents, and they're looking to gain more separation. But I like where this team's at. Wouldn't be surprised if you see 5-1 or even 6-0. But let's just temper down. Let's go 4-2. D-Max, how much you want for that hat? That's from Joe Mama. So we're working on the hat. I know I've said it before. Keep pushing me on the hat. We're going to do a giveaway package that includes a hat, a t-shirt. I know you guys like the fresh lid. It is a fresh lid. But how much for the hat? $1 million. No, but you know, well, I'm DM me, man. I want to get you guys hats because I know you guys are filling the hats. We can't sell them because they say Dodgers, right? So, you know, maybe if we're like those guys that are outside Dodger Stadium, you know what I mean? And we could like sell them that way. But I don't think the Dodgers would appreciate that, you know what I mean? But, you know, we're going to do it from giveaways. I promise you guys that. All right, so let's keep moving along here, guys. Let's do some more comments. We got Dan Davenport. Andrew will handle the Teoscar situation and get Sasaki in due time. Let's enjoy the blue train rolling in October. I like that. It's a fire take. Donnie Monreal says, I don't know if it's Monreal, but Donnie Monreal. ESPN said today the LA Dodgers are the best team in the National League. We are seeing history in the making. Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy this. This is, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We are experiencing in real time the golden age of Dodger baseball. I mean, before this Guggenheim group, this team wasn't a team that was perennially making the playoffs. You weren't seeing them as a perennial playoff contender. Now they are. They hadn't done that in the history of this franchise. Now you're seeing 11 straight postseason appearances. But having said that, you got to get some World Series championships to really make this the whole vision for this organization, this ownership group. But next stat for the 10 Dodger stats you need to know is Shohei Ohtani, who's leading in just about every single category. We talked about him at length this week as far as leading the entire sport in batting average and home runs, slugging percentage. He's been outstanding. But one number I want to point out is he has accumulated 2.6 F4. 2.6 F4 for Shohei Ohtani. The Anaheim Angels as an entire lineup, including Mike Trout, who has one F4, have a combined 2.3 F4 for their entire batting lineup offensively. So Ohtani individually has 2.6 F4. That's more than the entire Angels lineup at 2.3. So that just proves what everyone always knew, is that Ohtani had no business being in Anaheim. They were a below bottom tier franchise. He was the Bugatti at the trailer park meme. And you couldn't count on Mike Trout to stay healthy. You couldn't count on Anthony Rendon, who doesn't even want to play baseball at this point. He wants a shorter games, and I know his fans want a shorter contract, right? The Angels fans want a shorter contract for him and lesser money just because of how he's performed. So that shows you right now that we're seeing the version of Ohtani that we should have seen this entire time. And I think it's great for baseball, the fact that he's on a team that can surround him with talent, and he's not going to war with butter knives anymore. So think about that. Ohtani, 2.6 F4. The Angels, as an entire team, offensively, 2.3 F4. And oh, let me remind you this. Otani's a DH, okay? He's DHing. Okay, so next big stat you got to know, and this is one that I'm very excited to talk about, and I'm saying you glove to see it. You glove to see it. This Dodgers defense has absolutely exceeded expectations. This Dodgers defense, from the infield to the outfield to Will Smith behind the dish, has performed better than most people ever expected them to, because there was a lot of talk during spring training, the concern about the left side of the infield with Max Muncy at third and Mookie Betts at shortstop. Would he be able to perform at the position? How would Gavin Lux handle going back to second base? Well, the answer is they've all been great. They've all been able to get the job done. And you look at, as a team, their outs above average sits at 15. 15 outs above average as a team. That's first in all of Major League Baseball. Now, of course, outs above average, it's a defensive statistic that measures fielding ability. It represents the amount of outs a player has saved. It's calculated by assigning values to plays based on how difficult that play is. And then you add the value of each play for a season-long cumulative stat. So outs above average is a really good way to measure defense kind of holistically. I mean, it's, you always have to take defensive analytics with a grain of salt because you really need larger sample sizes. But so far, so good. Mookie Betts, 2 outs above average. That's in the 80th percentile. He has 6 defensive runs saved. That's in third in all of Major League Baseball for qualified shortstops. The UZR scores, they're low, right? His ultimate zone rating is low, but you need more sample size for a statistic like that. Max Muncy, the much maligned Max Muncy. Everyone thought, oh, please give me Nolan Arenado. Max Muncy is a DH. He's a first baseman playing third base. Look, I was not the biggest fan of Max Muncy at third base, but what I say is his best defense is his offense. And as long as he gets you 30 plus home runs and around 100 RBI comes through with runners in scoring position, he absolutely justifies himself at that position, even if he's playing below average defense. And if you look at offensively, Max Muncy is off to one of the best starts of his career. He's hitting .256. Ignore that. He's slugging .556, though. He has 9 home runs and a .156 weighted runs created plus. So he's been 56% above league average at the plate based on weighted runs created plus. Oh, and guess what? He's been an above average defensive third baseman. He has 2 outs above average. That's in the 83rd percentile. Gavin Lux, also 2 outs above average, the 81st percentile. Really, if you look at the infield, Freddie Freeman is the only negative defender right there. Freddie Freeman, a negative 1 outs above average in the 30th percentile. But hey, Freddie still got that gold. Hey, Freddie. Remember Jose Ramirez last year? Go glove. He's still got the gold on his glove. So he's a very capable and competent first baseman. So I'm thrilled with the way this defense has performed. It's a big reason why you've had a ton of success. And guess what? It's just not the starters right there. You have Miguel Rojas, who's still a top 5 to 10 defensive shortstop that you have as a defensive replacement. How about Kike Hernandez? A few games ago, he makes a play on the grass at third base. Freddie makes a nice dig on it. That shows Kike's versatility. So you have some really solid defensive replacements. You have some defensive versatility. But the starters, they have gotten the job done. Will Smith, he's continuing to improve as a game caller. One of the best when it comes to pop time. Yeah, I mean, this defense, they've gotten it done. You glove to see it. Now, the next number I want to talk about, and let's read some comments here. We got Dodger Z, Showtime fans. Here's a challenge for the Dodgers. How about sweep the Padres in their house? Let's do it. I love it. Jay, I think the 2017 Dodger team was better than this team. We can get into that when I talk about Kirsch. I'll give you some thoughts on that. Brian Gomez, when do we see in the new City Connects? Good question. I am not sure. I'll try to find out that information for you. I would definitely will ask around in San Diego. The right field pavilion. Will Smith has done such a great job of throwing out runners this season. Yeah, you saw it in the Marlins series with runners on base. And he's definitely, like I said, the pop time in the 76th percentile. And he's done a much better job this season throwing out runners. And I think a lot of that has to do with the pitchers as well. And that was something that they emphasized during spring training, because a lot of the rerunning on this Dodgers team had to do with the pitchers not using those disengagements, not going to the plate in ample time. So it's definitely something they've cleaned up a little bit this season. So that's a fantastic point. We got Jen missing King Kersh. Yeah, we're going to talk about Kersh, but yeah, it's really cool to see him in the dugout. I really liked his in-game interview the other day. We got Andre saying, go Tani. We got Sierra Altman should stay up. CT3 needs to go and figure it out. Talk about that. Max is playing Gold Glove third base. No joke from Kelly Oshiro. So next thing I want to dive into is Teoscar Hernandez. And the number for me is 83.5. As in $83.5 million on a four-year contract. How about that, Andrew, Mr. Friedman? How about a contract extension for Teoscar Hernandez? I think he's a great fit for this team, not just on the field. He's the guy who came up with the sunflowers in the face, home run celebration. He's a great energy guy. His teammates love him. He rakes against southpaws. But $83.5 million on a four-year contract because, look, you have to keep as many players in this core together. And they're essentially all locked up, 1 through 6. Shohei, Mookie, Freddie, Smith, Muncy. But Teoscar is that last missing piece. Now, we saw last season, JD Martinez was on a one-year deal at $10 million. But one, JD was older. And two, last season was a little different because they really were in developmental mode a little bit. You had a little bit of a youth movement. They kind of overachieved by winning 100 games. But I think Teoscar Hernandez is young enough to say, you know what, we might consider doing this. And I asked Teoscar Hernandez after the game about being a run producer for this team because you have Shohei Ohtani, you have Mookie Betts, you have Freddie Freeman. Well, guess what? Teoscar Hernandez, he leads the team with 21 RBI. And yes, the RBI statistic, it doesn't tell the whole story, but these guys take pride in these numbers. These guys take pride in getting some of these counting stats that point to, okay, I came through in this situation. And he's out there producing at a all-star level, at a silver slugger level. He has 4 home runs in his last 6 games. His 10 home runs are second on the team behind Shohei Ohtani's 11. A 142 weighted runs created plus is his highest in a season for a 162-game season for his career. And he just wants to be that guy that puts runs across home plate. And look, you got Ohtani, you got Fred, you got Mookie, but the performance of guys like Teoscar Hernandez are the reason why teams win the World Series for a lot of teams because they're going to focus on the big three, the MV3. They're going to focus on not making Ohtani and Betts beat them, but when you have the protection around Teoscar and a guy that can hit you 30-plus home runs in your 6th hole, right, or your cleanup spot during certain games, that is a massive, massive luxury. But I talked to Teoscar after the game and asked him about being that run producer for the team, and here's what he told me.
And you get your 500th RBI today, and you lead the team with 29 RBIs. So people try to diminish that stat in recent years, but how much pride do you take in playing that role for this team and being a run producer?
I mean, I don't think about it. You know, thank you for letting me know this. Yes. Was my 500th RBI. I don't look at numbers. I'm just here to try to do my part, try to contribute to the team and do the things that
awesome. You're right there. He's willing to do anything to help this team. We got MV4, you mean? Yeah, we got the Mount Crushmore for sure. There's no doubt about it. We got Jay Bullitt. RBIs are your clutch factor. It tells you how you do with runners in scoring position. Well, I mean, he's hitting like 212 to 220, something like that, with runners in scoring position, but it's coming through in big spots for sure. We got Mike M. What about when Kershaw, May, and Miller are back? What happens to Nat Grove, Sheehan, and Paxton? Mike M., my answer for that is, do you really think things are just going to go all rosy for these starting pitchers? Do you really think that all these guys are going to stay healthy? It's just, look, hypothetically, there it's going to be a performance-based decision, right? I mean, there's no doubt that Tyler Glass now and Yoshinobu Yamamoto are those two guys. And if Walker Buehler performs like he did and he's throwing 95, 96, 97, he's going to be out there as well. Bobby Miller gets healthy, he's out there as well. They gave James Paxton a one-year deal for $13 million, up to $13 million. So they want to get the most out of him. But let's just see how these things shake out organically. Peace, Daniel. We got Gotani. Never have too many arms. Yeah, Mike M., that's the thing. I mean, you can never have too much starting pitching. You can never have too many relievers. And that's just the truth in all this. Alex Renteria, D-Mac, it has to be brought up. Your rant after that 6-4 loss at home to the Mets has turned this season around. Absolutely. I mean, they probably were watching it in the clubhouse. And I was the reason that sparked this 14 wins in 16 game stretch. But obviously, I'm totally kidding. Bruh. But I wish I had those powers. Mike M., do you go with more starters and fewer relievers? We'll dive into that tomorrow. But really, the thing with that is when you go with more starters, you better hope those starters go at least six, go at least seven. Because if you have rough starts, you got a lot of innings to cover and it becomes a little complicated. And also, too, when the postseason rolls around, it becomes more of a bullpen game where you're playing more matchups. So really the key right now is how
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How quickly can you get Evan Phillips back? How quickly can you get Ryan Brazier back? And later on, how does Bruce Dark Gratterall look when he returns? So I think you got the Swiss Army knife and Ryan Yarbrough to mix things up, but these things will happen organically. But back to Teoscar Hernandez. The only issue with Teoscar is that he strikes out, right? On the year, 31.1 strikeout rate. But just 5 strikeouts in his last 25 at-bats. So he's been striking out less. He's been punishing mistakes. He's been hitting home runs off of righties. You saw him hit a bomb off Morton. So these are some of the things in years past that you had to kind of say, all right, this is where Teoscar has his faults. These are things that he's doing well. And he just looks like a better hitter in this lineup, in this organization. And he's trying to get paid. I mean, he signed a 1-year contract with the Dodgers for $23.5 million. $15 million this year. You have $8.5 million spread out between 2030 and 2039, the Los Angeles deferrals. He also get $850,000 every July 1st, $850K every July 1st for 10 years. So that's how his deferrals are spread out. Can also get a performance bonus if he gets in on the MVP voting, $3 million as a bonus if he finishes in the top 5, $2 million if he finishes between 6th and 8th, and $500K if he finishes from 11th to 15th. He also gets a $1 million bonus if he wins the Silver Slugger Award. So, look, he can get paid even more than that, up to $4 million in escalators there. But for me, I look at the free agents next year, the free agents in the offseason, the outfield. You got Verdugo, Mitch Haniger, Mark Canna, Juan Soto, of course. He's the crown jewel, really, of the offseason. But who else is really out there? Anthony Santander, Michael Conforto. I mean, those aren't names that you say, okay, they're worth paying big money to. I think Teoscar Hernandez is a player. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm trying to just get the feel for him. If I'm Andrew Friedman, I'm saying, hey, 4 years, $80 million. 4 years, $85 million. Let's do it. Because this is a guy that, one, he's going to get you 27 to 33 home runs if he's healthy in this lineup. And anytime you get a 30-bomb guy that also gets you 30 doubles, and on top of that, it's a right-handed hitter that rakes against lefties, that checks off a lot of boxes for what this lineup needs, what this lineup didn't have in years past. And you look at the success that he's had against southpaws, it's no fluke. He's had a large sample size of just raking against lefties. For his career, he's had a lot of success. And since 2021, he's slashing .317, .349, .628 against lefties with a .164 weighted runs created plus. That's top 10 in baseball. That's right up there with names like Mookie Betts and Aaron Judge. That's how good he is against lefties. So I want to see Teoscar Hernandez long-term on this team. I think he's a great fit. And even with Andy Páez, you can have Andy Páez and Teoscar Hernandez, because Andy Páez, really, he's a center fielder right now. And Páez is someone that he's showing no signs of slowing down. He drew his first walk of the year a couple games ago, so he's even making progress as well. So give me Teoscar Hernandez. The Teoscar goes to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I want to hear that in the offseason. Next number I want to get into is 0.71. Of course, a commenter a couple days ago said that Chris Taylor had the James Bond batting average 007, which definitely was pretty rough. But Ohtani, he leads baseball in batting average. Chris Taylor, for hitters with a minimum of 60 plate appearances, he's 322nd out of 322nd. He's last in baseball. His negative one weighted runs created plus is fourth worst. His 41.2% strikeout rate is 320 out of 322. So I think that it's pretty clear at this point that if Andy Páez is continuing to perform and Dave Roberts has given us every indication that he's not going to be sent down if he plays like this, well, what's the next option? Send down James Outman, a guy that can play center field, a guy that really is starting to figure things out. He saw a home run from him the other night. I'm not out on James Outman. I still think that James Outman can help this team this season, and he's already proven to be an above average center fielder. He's a better defensive center fielder than Andy Páez. So it's the no-brainer move. If Jason Hayward's back and you have to decide between James Outman and Chris Taylor, I don't think twice about this. You have to either IL Chris Taylor on a phantom IL situation or DFA him. That's it. And I think this is no slight to Chris Taylor. I love Chris Taylor, right? He's never done anything wrong his entire life, but it also wouldn't be wrong for the Dodgers to make the right decision to help this team win, right? This isn't Little League. We're not giving away little small trophies and orange slices and Rice Krispie treats. That's not how this works here, okay? They're trying to win the World Series. And yes, he's had a lot of success in the postseason. I still think that there's a universe where he gets hot at the right time and helps this team. But I think a strategic Phantom IL is the best move. But you also have to factor in as well, Major League Baseball is paying closer attention to these kind of things, right? I mean, you saw what happened to Billy Epler with the Mets. He was suspended for fabricating injury. So it's really kind of a dangerous thing to do. But let's go down below. We got Taylor, get ready to speak Korean, buddy. That's from Surge. That's 199. Yeah, guys, I mean, look, let's not forget. I mean, baseball is the what have you done for me lately sport. But let's not forget, Chris Taylor is beloved by Dodgers fans, by his teammates. And I'm not DFAing him. If I'm Chris Taylor, I look at this as, yes, it's been a rough start. There's no doubt about it. It has been a rough start. But I think if you're CT3, that you can definitely find a way to get back to where you need to be mechanically with some extended time off. I just think he needs a full reset because he's in between. The swing and miss is too high, and it's just a struggle. Whereas Teoscar Hernandez, like I said, he's doing things better than he has for a long time, right? You're not seeing him with the Puig syndrome, right? Where you're seeing him just chase, right? He's staying in the zone more lately. So the Dodgers have proven that they can get their players to get back on track and have more success. But we got Anthony Smiley. Chris Taylor is destined to have an oblique strain and head to the 60-day IL while they see if anyone will trade for him. Anthony Smiley, I don't think that is likely. I think because, I mean, think about, look at what Tommy Pham signed for, right? I mean, look at the contract that he signed for. He's still owed over, you know, $30 million for the next two seasons, right? I mean, he signed a four-year, $60 million deal. Do you really think that teams are going to say, okay, we want to absorb that salary? Probably not, right? The Dodgers, do they really want to pay down that salary? Probably not, right? So, look, they non-tendered Cody Bellinger. You didn't bring back Justin Turner. They made difficult decisions in the past with some of their beloved players. So I'm not totally averse. I think there's a world where the Dodgers, if they don't want to fabricate an injury, you know, I wouldn't put it past them. I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think there's a 0% chance of it happening. But we got Giants or Padres fans being most annoying. Who's the most annoying, Giants fans or Padres fans? Full stop Padres fans, okay? Full stop Padres fans. It feels like their organization was established in 2020, right? I mean, the fact that they are still riding on that NLDS win a couple years ago, they clowned the Dodgers for 2020 when they were having parades at Gaslamp for a wild card series win. I mean, look, it's nothing against Padres fans, but I think Giants fans, who, look, yeah, it's a close second. There's no doubt about it. Mookie says they're both are annoying. Who did you say, Antonio? Who's more annoying?
Definitely going to go with the San Diego Padres for sure, 100%.
Yeah, no, they're like, yeah. I mean, a lot of them are bandwagons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they still got all those guys have Dodger jerseys in their closets just in the back right there.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Like, we know that that's our beach house down there. That's Dodger Stadium South. We're good for business. Okay, that Dodger stimulus is coming this weekend. And yeah, I think for the Padres fans, I think it's great for baseball, and more people that watch this game is something that I think is great. But yeah, for me, it's an easy call right there. Padres for sure. That's from Ray Soda. Sammy Boy Smith. Cubs fans are starting to make me sick too. Can't wait till Soda regresses. Yeah, I mean, another number I'll throw at you too. Yamamoto, a 1.76 ERA since that rough start against the San Diego Padres. Unfortunately, the Padres have had their way with him, but Shota Imanaga is a good pitcher for sure, but I think he's going to have a little bit of a regression to the mean. But yeah, we're actually going to drop that Kershaw interview later, so be on the lookout for that. Going to do the full thing. Kind of things that you're going to look forward to in this one is what happened in the 2017 World Series. And for me, when it comes to Clayton Kershaw, what hurts me the most is the Astros cheating, the Astros stealing that World Series, the fact that he threw 39 sliders in that game five. He had a 4-0 lead, and he threw 39 sliders. They swung at one of them, okay? They were cheating, and they had a lasting negative impact on his legacy. If Kersh finishes that game and the Dodgers win that series, game one of that series, Kersh went 7 innings, gave up just a home run to Bregman. He was the first pitcher to throw 11 strikeouts and no walks in the World Series since Don Newcomb. Clayton Kershaw would be the World Series MVP. That is how big of an impact that cheating had. It's not even, to me, what it did to the Dodgers. It literally is what it did specifically with Clayton Kershaw. Andy told me that Kersh lived through pain for years before the cheating scandal stuff really broke, and you got clarity on that issue. And I don't care how Kersh performed against the St. Louis Cardinals, right? I don't care if it performed in other postseason series where he struggled. If he had a World Series MVP under his belt, that would have destroyed the entire narrative. And yes, you see the regular season ERA basically double in the postseason, but the true ball knowers know, and I know you guys are that, and Kersh hasn't been the best postseason pitcher. There's no denying that, right? He has had his struggles in October. But if this was this era, do you think Kershaw is going to be out there against the Cardinals in game one with that 6-1 lead after throwing 100 pitches, after giving up 100 runs, a couple runs? No, absolutely not. After throwing those 100 pitches, that's it. I'm taking the ball. I'm getting my best reliever in there. Because, look, nowadays, it's, you know what? My best reliever, my fresh reliever, is a more effective strategy than having my starting pitcher face this order for the third time after throwing 100 pitches. So Kersh was absolutely screwed by Don Mattingly. He was screwed by how he was managed, and it was a valiant effort. The fact that he always took the ball on short rest, and, I mean, just so much bad luck, too. I mean, when Matt Adams hit that go-ahead home run in the NLDS for the Cardinals. That was the first time a lefty had ever hit Kershaw's curveball out. So I hope that Kershaw gets some redemption. I think the baseball gods owe him a little redemption, comes back this year, finds a way to be effective, and performs well, and he rides off in the sunset as a World Series champion. But we're going to talk all things Kershaw later with Andy McCullough, so you won't want to miss that. Talked a lot about the 2017 World Series, about his legacy, and also a big update on how he's feeling and when we can see him back on the mound. But a couple more comments here we got. I love to see a video by D-Mac breaking down Kershaw's playoff career. Bad plays by Puig, inherited runners scoring, Pedro Baez, Mattingly leaving him in too long and starting him on short rest. How about that? We're going to work on that. And this is not a Kershaw puff piece. I mean, you guys know I keep it 100. I keep it a buck with you guys. He hasn't been the best postseason pitcher, but it's very, very complicated. Look, how about this? If all Clayton Kershaw did, what do we say about Mike Trout? Mike Trout, the greatest baseball player ever, the big fish in the small pond. He plays for a terrible organization. You never really use the lack of playoff success against Mike Trout. If Clayton Kershaw played for the Angels and you had that regular season success where he has a 2.48 ERA, the lowest in the live ball era, you'd be saying, oh, he's just a great player who's on a bad team. But Kersh was on a team where he had so many opportunities to go out there. And unfortunately, yeah, he had his bad starts against the Cardinals. No doubt about it. Yeah, he did struggle at times. And even the National Series, he had no business being out there in Game 5. But I'm not going to rewrite his legacy right here. We'll save that for another day. We got a couple more. Mike Trout is the most injured player ever. That's from golf. Yeah, I mean, he should have his mail sent to the IL at this point because he practically is living there. And you hate to see it. Sammy Boy, Rockies greater than blank holes to finish him. Let's give you a finish.
Finish him.
Which is kind of sad. But yeah, on the way out, be sure to subscribe to the channel and comment Goat Tawny down below in the comment section. If you missed out on the auction for $100,000, I'm sorry, the auction is over, but you can win with us. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Also for Mr. Super Producer Antonio, Donio Taters. Thanks, and definitely, guys, give him some shout-outs down below. And we got some walk-off shots here. Jose says, great way to have lunch. Hashtag long live Kersh 22. Yeah, lunchtime break. Also, hey, even if you're working, guys, just put the headphones on, pretend like you're working, have us in another window. You know how to do it. 275, get over it. Look how good we've been since. Everyone did it. Annoying. Talking about the Astros cheating scandal. I will never, ever, in a million years, ever get over that. Ever, ever, ever. Never not happening. But that is going to do it, guys. And remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.